Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today our topic is, does God have a calendar? Do you think that God has a calendar in heaven? And are we bound as New Testament Christians to Old Testament feast days? And do we have to lay money on an altar during feast days? So we are going to talk about it, and we'll find out who's scamming who here. And anyway, it will be an interesting program with my guest, Brother Moses Preston, and we'll be bringing him on in just one moment. I just wanted to kind of update the news this week on the news front. The Ebola crisis, and it is a crisis. Kind of odd, really, how the government is handling this whole thing. And as we can see, the spirit of rebellion is alive and well in this country, where people that refuse to consider other people when they could potentially spread a deadly disease. This is no joke. Remember that nobody wears a hazmat suit when they attend to people with the flu or the measles. Have you ever seen anybody in a hazmat suit in a hospital? No. The only virus that requires a hazmat suit is Ebola. So it's like one newscaster said, they don't want us to believe what we're seeing with our own eyes. Crazy days we're living in, isn't it? But anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on. Hello, Brother Moses.
Hello, Sister Susan. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Wonderful,
pretty
wonderful. Good.
Good
to hear that you're doing well.
Yes. Yes, I want to thank you for coming on today and for bringing us this message, because there's so many voices out there, especially if people don't read their Bibles for themselves and find out what thus saith the Lord, they can be easily deceived, especially if they turn on television. Which has become, they call it Christian, but it's become unchristian television for the most part. I was reading the other day that a lady that had been on our local Christian television station, and she had her production wasn't anything to write home about. It was poorly done, really. And a teacher of Universal Salvation, which I don't know what she was doing on the Christian network anyway, but she was taking in, also I think she had a little church somewhere, but she was taking in $400,000 a year doing this half-hour daily program. So it's very lucrative to have this kind of a public forum. So even if you really don't have that much to say, people do send money to these people. So you can imagine how lucrative it is for people like Rod Parsley and Paula White and Mike Murdoch and Steve Muncy and Todd Kuntz And this man, Siddiqui, I don't know his first name, but looking at God TV this week, the network where the husband of Wendy Alec has taken off with another woman and doesn't want anything to do with his family or his so-called ministry, but they have this man Siddiqui on there, and he's snapping his fingers like the good hypnotist that he is, and then he's telling people to close their eyes and count to three. And so he wasn't trying to hide the fact that he was hypnotizing people. But I wanted to get your take on what do you make of all these so-called prophets that tell people that they must keep these feast days?
Well, as you said in your introduction, there are many, many voices, each one spouting their own brand or their own twist or their own version of what God would want us to do. And Peter and Jude tell us that these people, you can know a true shepherd from a wolf by their bottom line. And if you watch any of these programs, their bottom line is that you can please God by giving some offering. And it has nothing to do with the heart, nothing to do with your daily walk with the Lord, nothing to do with loving your neighbor, nothing to do with having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can please God by giving God money. Now, the Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So God owns everything, and there's not one scripture that I can think of that says that God is wanting us to please him by the giving of money.
Yeah.
So again, God wants the heart.
Yeah.
And you see the danger of all of this is that it's an add-on gospel. In other words, they say, in very subtle ways, that yes, Jesus paid the price. However, there's something that you need to do in order to get right with God, in addition to what Jesus did. So it's an add-on gospel. So we have to ask ourselves. We have to go back to the heresy that Paul was combating in Galatians. And that is, you know, are we saved by grace or are we saved by works? Are we saved because we believe and put our trust in Jesus Christ, or are we saved because we believe in Jesus Christ and then there's a list of things that we must do?
Yeah.
And so that's why the gospel that, and we can't even call it a gospel, but as Paul said, if anyone preach another gospel that hasn't been preached to you already, let them be anathema, let them be forever cursed. So
yeah.
Rod Parsley and Paula White and all of these other people would have us believe that the gospel that was once and for all delivered to the saints is a gospel of add-ons. And this is why it's so dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. And going back to your original point about the many voices, you know, if Abraham had just listened to God and not, and of course, we're all human, but, you know, God said to him, I will give you a son through your wife, Sarah.
Yeah.
And so that was God's voice. And when God speaks to us, we have to be patient and we have to wait on the Lord. But his wife and himself, they got impatient, and they wanted to help God.
Right.
They wanted to add something to what God had told them. You see, the key here is adding on. And so Sarah said, look, in our society, in our culture, you can take my concubine, She's my property, and thus anything that she bears from you is legally mine. And so Abraham listened. The Bible says he hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And
yeah.
We know what that turned out to be. It turned out to be a disaster. And Paul uses Sarah and Hagar, Hagar being the law in the book of Galatians chapter 4, and Sarah being the gospel. And so we have the son produced by the flesh, Ishmael, and the son produced by grace, and that was Isaac. And
yeah.
So what gospel are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the pure gospel of God, or are we going to believe the gospel of add-ons?
Yes. Yes, that's a good way to put it, because it is a work of the flesh. Really, it's worse than that, these heretics. And the Bible says that a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. So we reject these heretics. I'm surprised that they're still out there scamming. It amazes me when I watch them, because they get bolder and bolder as the days go on. And every week it's a new scam. And I've noticed of late, though, that I guess a few people might be catching on, because they're telling people, well, you know, we know that you've sowed seed before, and maybe you didn't get your return, but I'm telling you, if you do this one, you're going to get it. So they blaspheme God by saying, even the Holy Spirit is telling me that you need to follow this instruction. Now, is there anywhere in the Bible where God has instructed people to give a specific amount of money to please him, or to buy his favor,
or to buy anything from God?
Yeah.
You know, we think of Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel, and there was a false teacher there by the name of Simon Magus. And during Philip's revival, many people got delivered and saved and healed. And this Simon seems on the surface to have had a conversion experience. But then when Peter and John come down to add some help to Philip, Simon decided or made the pitch. He said, I'll give you money if you can give me this gift of God.
Yeah.
And Peter said, thy money perish with thee.
Yes.
And he said, pray to see if perhaps you didn't cross the line and perhaps you can be saved. So there are people who are trying to buy God's favor. And it's not doable. God is not interested in money. If God said this to us, Jesus said this to us, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Yes.
So why would God give us the very thing that he knows could damage us and lead us away from him? Rather than have us have a walk of faith. A walk of faith means that you have to pray for your daily bread, and you have to look to God all the time for your sustenance. And that's an exciting walk. I don't know about you, but, I mean, I just love my walk with the Lord.
Yes.
The fact that it's an adventure.
Yes.
Because he tells me, don't worry about tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just go about
yes.
and do my work.
Yes.
And all these things that the Gentiles or the unsaved concern themselves and lose sleep over, those things shall be added unto you. Just do my work. and you'll see how I'll provide.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. That's a wonderful walk. That's really the walk of faith. When these people talk about faith and confessing and claiming and visualizing and putting out an image of what you want, that's not faith.
No.
That's witchcraft.
Yeah.
So I'm and like you and like so many other Christians, we are dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And what a Heavenly Father we have, who will not withhold any good thing from those who love him. So,
yes.
Jesus said, if you being evil, know how to give your children good things, how much more will your Heavenly Father give unto you the Holy Spirit, right? And
yes.
Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say that the Holy Spirit, that the Father was going to give us things. He said, in the text, he says, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, why is the Holy Spirit so important? Because the Holy Spirit takes, he's a person, the third person of the Godhead. He takes residence in us, right? He abides with us.
Yeah.
And he leads us and guides us to all truth. So I'd rather have the Holy Spirit than not have the Holy Spirit and get hoodwinked by the likes of Paula White and Rod Parsley. I thank God for the Holy Spirit because anytime these guys come on TV and I hear them, they don't affect me. They can't bewitch me. They can't hypnotize me like this this teacher the other day who was snapping his fingers and telling people to close their eyes. And, no, I can't be hypnotized if I have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So give me the Holy Spirit. You can keep the money.
Yeah.
Give me the Holy Spirit. Seal me with the Holy Spirit. Make me God's property until he comes back for us. Please, keep it all. Just give me God. And God said to Abraham, and these people are always talking about how Abraham is the father of faith. God said to Abraham, I, Abraham, am your shield and your exceeding great reward. That's what God said to Abraham. I am your shield. I'm your protector. And I am your exceeding great reward. So if you found God, you got everything.
Oh, amen.
You have everything if you found God.
Everything. Everything. I wouldn't want to be these people for all the money in the world. Yeah, keep your money. You're not going to take it with you on Judgment Day. How are you going to explain to Jesus Christ that you told people that the Holy Spirit was talking to you and telling you specific amounts? 10 people give $1,000. The Holy Spirit does not talk like that.
Here's the thing. Again, like you said in your introduction, there are so many voices, but if we can just listen to the one voice, the voice of God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, right? He said, when the Spirit of truth come, he will lead you and guide you to all truth and speak of me. So if anybody's telling you that the Holy Spirit's talking about money, if you're watching a 30-minute program and all they're doing is telling you that the Holy Spirit just told them to tell you to give a certain amount of money, then you know that that is not the Holy Spirit, because Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit that would come in his place, the other comforter, the other helper, the person who would be alongside us, so that we would not get deceived or tricked or hoodwinked, that Holy Spirit will speak to us about Jesus, not about money. So that's why, like you said, we need to listen to one voice and put aside the many voices. And I find, Susan, that people are not reading their Bible.
No.
People are listening to what these preachers are saying, but they're not reading to the voice of God.
No,
and the
Bible
tells us, right? And the Bible tells us that we have one sure word of prophecy. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 21. He says, "We have a sure word of prophecy." That's God's word. I don't need any more prophecies other than that one sure word of prophecy. And that's enough.
Yes. It amazes me because, like I was saying in the beginning of the program, I had been doing an internet search about a particular ministry and noticed that they posted some financial information on the internet, but to see that they were taking in $400,000 a year in offerings and tithes and whatever. So you can imagine how lucrative it is for these people. And here's a person that was teaching ultimate reconciliation and there is no hell. And so it's kind of like, it reminds me of when we had Martin Luther, and of course they had a Reformation back then, but in the 1500s, but there was always a church. It wasn't just because Luther broke away from the Catholics, as history writes it. There was always a church. But this is the person that gets so much written about him, and he gets so much publicity, really. But even with all that Luther did, and it didn't stop the Catholic Church. It didn't stop them from building and growing and becoming the... Who's richer than them? There isn't anybody. There isn't any government or anybody that's richer than them.
That's absolutely right. And that's why, as you made the statement before, this woman who was bringing in, or this teacher who was bringing in on television, who by all estimations is a tiny little minnow in a pond, right?
Yeah.
I mean, among the people on TV, she's a little tadpole in a pond, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she's bringing in $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
So these people understand that if you can spin the tail, if you have the gift of gab, if you were once a used car salesman and were pretty successful at that, then you can make money on TV because people carry Bibles, but they don't read them.
Yeah.
They don't read them. For example, let me read to you a scripture here out of the book of Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to begin at verse 8. And I'm going to read out of, I like the different translations that are out there. One of my favorites is the J.B. Phillips modern translation. And J.B. Phillips was a British scholar, and he prepared this translation in lieu of the fact that there were some young people in England who, you know, weren't taking it to the King James Bible. So he came up with this translation to help young people rediscover God. And it says, beginning at verse 4. This is Paul, his letter to the Galatians, and he's questioning why they have allowed themselves to be hoodwinked into believing that they are supposed to observe Jewish holidays. So I'm going to begin at verse 8. It says, "At one time, when you had no knowledge of God, you were under the authority of gods who had no real existence. But now that you have come to know God, or rather are known of him, how can you revert to the weakness and the poverty of such principles and consent to be under their powers all over again? Your religion is beginning to be a matter of observing special days and months and seasons and years. You make me wonder if all of my effort among you has been wasted." You see, Paul preached the gospel to these people. They came to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. They were taught that they were saved by grace and not by works. And then in Paul's absence, these teachers came from Judea, preaching that in addition to the gospel of Christ, you had to observe circumcision, and you had to observe Jewish feast days, and you had to keep God's special appointments, as Rod Parsley and Paula White advocate. And Paul says, if your religion is based on days and weeks and special months and special seasons and special appointments, then obviously my labor among you has been in vain.
Yes.
Because you really don't understand the gospel. The gospel
yes.
is not about meeting God on those days. The gospel, see, and here's the thing. Paul says, why would you want to meet God at Passover when you can meet him every day?
Yeah.
Why would you want to meet God? Why would you shortchange yourself and meet God on the Day of Atonement when you have an appointment with God every day?
Yes.
You see, and that's the Jewish, that's what Judaism taught, that there were special appointments. And God is saying, no, my children have an open door policy with me. They can meet me every single day.
Yes.
And so Paul says, if you've been hoodwinked into following special days and observing weeks and observing seasons and feasts and appointments, you have been hoodwinked and I have wasted my time as a gospel preacher.
Yes. Yes. And they also, they say, well, you have to obey an instruction. God always gives an instruction. So,
well, how did that work for Abraham after he listened to Sarah's instruction? How did that
yeah.
work for him when he went and took his concubine,
yeah.
took and laid with her? How did that turn out years later?
Yeah,
Sarah,
they're still fighting over it.
Exactly, they're still historically fighting over that mess.
Yeah,
and so I'd rather listen to the voice of God than to follow anyone's instructions.
Yeah,
you know,
because
Balaam,
first of all, they're telling you that God is saying it. So they're trying to tell you that God is saying this to you. But if God was saying it to me or to anybody that's listening to these people, I don't have to hear it from them.
Yeah, let me read to you, because that's why you and I and all those who love the Lord love the scriptures. So let's turn to 1 John. The first epistle of John, chapter 4, okay? And this is what he says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm going to read out of the Living Bible. He says, dearly loved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is, for there are many false teachers around. And the way to find out if their message is from the Holy Spirit is to ask, does it agree really with what Jesus said? I mean, isn't that clear?
Yeah.
I mean the Living Bible it takes that verse and it just makes it so plain. So listen, if you don't like the King James Version and it kind of confuses you, get the J.B. Phillips translation, and you'll see that it makes us as plain as day. It speaks to us in modern English. And so no one should be hoodwinked. If what people say doesn't match what Jesus said, then you know they're not from God.
Yeah, because we never have any indication from Jesus in any of the Gospels where he said, show me the money.
Well, look, Paula White, right, in her book, First Things First, she makes note of the fact that Jesus taught on first fruits. And she uses the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So she takes the word first, and she says, well, you see, saints, first means first fruits. It really means first fruits. So Jesus taught us about first fruits, and he says, if you give your first fruits first, all the things that you need for life will be added unto you. Well, that's not what the text says. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God means God's agenda or God's plan. What was God's plan? God's plan is for us to evangelize. God's plan is for us to spread the gospel. So if
yes.
we do that, if we do that, then all things necessary to life shall be added. So she says, no, God is asking you to give money and things will be added. And Jesus is saying, no, go out and evangelize and be concerned with God's things and God's agenda. And you'll see how God will take care of you if you're concerned with God's salvation agenda for mankind.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Right. So notice, she makes the claim that Jesus, she's even twisting Jesus' words. She's even telling people that Jesus taught on first fruits. Well, if you take your concordance, you'll see that not only did Jesus not teach first fruits in Matthew 6:33, but Jesus never mentioned first fruits in the entire Gospel of Matthew. Nowhere in the Gospel of Matthew or in the Gospel of Mark, in the Gospel of Luke, in the Gospel of John, nowhere in those Gospels did Jesus ever talk about first fruits, ever. Or about, now don't you think, I mean, if first fruits were so important, like Paula White and Rod Parsley claim, and all the other, if it was so important, why would Jesus leave that out?
Yeah.
Why would Jesus leave it out?
Yeah.
And the fact is, Jesus left it out because it was not important. Because God is not concerned with money. God is concerned with our souls.
Yes.
And that's and our devotion and our daily walk with Him.
Yeah.
So he's not concerned with any. Jesus is not in heaven in the month of January waiting to see who's bringing first fruits offerings. That's absurd. That's absurd. The Bible does not say, the Bible does not say that the angels in heaven rejoice when a person gives first fruits offering. It says the angels of heaven rejoice when a soul comes to repentance.
Yes.
Right?
So this is
that's why I love your initial statement. There are so many voices out there, and I go back to, we need to listen to the one voice, and that is the voice of God.
Yes.
That's
the voice of truth.
That's it. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Yeah.
And then he said, I will send you, when I leave, I will send you the other comforter, your helper, who is the spirit of truth. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. So these people, with all of their error, is just reminding us that they don't serve the Lord.
No.
Although they claim to serve, they're not serving the Lord. They're serving their bellies.
Yes.
They're serving their personal agendas. That's what they're serving. They don't serve the Lord.
No, they don't serve the Lord. And the Bible does say that grievous wolves will come in. And we're seeing that, these wolves. And, yes, they sit on platforms with men and women of God. They sneak on to television networks, and they write books, and they sell tapes, and they have videos, and they continue to deceive the masses. Because if you look at any, if you do any population studies or studies of people that go to church, the majority of people that attend church are probably in the Catholic Church, I would say, worldwide, and that's the biggest cult going.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the biggest,
and then
cult
we
going.
Have the Muslims. Now, you know, talk about a false religious system,
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm,
hate. And when Jesus preaches a gospel of love, so if there's ever any Muslim people listening to this broadcast, come on over, you know, come on over to a God of love. Come on over to a God that doesn't teach vengeance and hate, and love your neighbor, bless your enemy, do good to those who despitefully use you. So we see, even in this country, we say, oh, there's so many Christians in this country, but how many true believers are there, real Christian believers, the remnant that doesn't bow the knee? We don't sell out for fame and fortune. We want Jesus Christ, and we want to preach the true gospel, whether or not there's any money in it or not. We don't do it for money. So,
well, that's absolutely right. I mean, think about the many voices in the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, you've heard it said before, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He said, but now I say unto you, pray for your enemies, right?
Yeah.
That's what our Lord said, pray for your enemies. Now, what does Paula White say? She says, no, the Lord wants you to give an offering to him so that he can get rid of your enemies. Well, wait a minute. When you match up the two things, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Now, prayer don't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Right? Right? And what did Paul say? Does God want to obliterate all men? No, Paul said, God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So why would Jesus say, pray for your enemies? Because God would have your enemy saved.
Yes.
Well, you see, Paula says, no. See, I found in 1 Chronicles 22:9 that God wants you to give an offering, and then he'll obliterate your enemies. He'll get rid of your enemies. So, again, what gospel are we going to obey? Are we going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Christ, or are we going to obey the teachings of these shysters, which always has a bottom line, and the bottom line is you're going to send them money. That's and think about this. I mean, is God a mafioso? Is God your hitman? Do you have to pay God $5,000 to get rid of someone you can't stand?
Yeah.
And if you come to that point, then there's something wrong with your heart. If there's people that you can't stand, there's people we don't like. There's things that we don't like what they do. But as followers of Jesus, we're praying for their salvation.
Yeah.
And so all of these religions, if you go to Roman Catholicism, what did they do to true Christians? They persecuted them, right? What do Muslims do? They persecute. What does Paula White and Rod Parsley and all the others now teach? Oh, there's haters in the church. There's haters. And you got to, you know, God is going to shut down your haters. That's the language. So there's a civil war within the church.
Yes.
There are those who want you to be tolerant and accept all of the nonsense, and then if you open your mouth, then you're a hater, and now you're an enemy, and now they're giving offerings so that God can get rid of you. So it doesn't, you know, logically, it doesn't make sense, and this is why even the Jewish people, you know, people who are Jewish, right? People who are ethnically Jewish, they will tell you, "I don't understand where these preachers on TV get this atonement offering." Jewish people are asking me, "Where did you people get this atonement offering? Because we don't give that."
Yeah.
Passover offering. Where did you people? Can you show me where you people got this teaching from? Because it's not in our Bible. It's not in the Old Testament. Jewish people are asking about these offerings because they never heard of them, because they are the invention of these false teachers.
Yes, it's the invention of the false teachers, and they're very clever because they're always coming up with something. This week, most of them are doing their push for money for overseas missions, which I know they don't spend that much money on overseas missions. And
I'm pretty sure that whatever money they're raising, whether it's for Ebola victims or whatever, there's one guy on TV who's always raising money for people from the Holocaust. And my question is, how many of those people how many of those people are still alive?
Right.
How many? We're talking about the era of World War II. All of the World War II veterans I know that were in my family and neighbors of mine, they're almost all gone. So, but there's one guy on TV who's just raising tons of money, help Holocaust victims, feed them, and you're asking yourself, but first of all, are these people still around? And I'm almost sure that the numbers have dwindled considerably. So this guy must be lining his pockets, because you can't – listen, it's not that he's on Christian television. This guy shows up on the Fox News Network. And to buy time on the Fox News Network, it's a pretty penny.
Oh, yeah, it's very expensive, because even to have a little program here on the local Christian network, if you want one 30-minute program daily for 5 days a week, it's almost $200,000 a year.
Right.
So to be on these big networks, you can imagine, it could go into the millions. So
he's spending
millions of dollars on airtime.
Mm-hmm.
And how much money is he actually really giving to the people he's raising it for?
Not only that, he's not doing it at 1 in the morning. He's not on Fox News at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. He's on Fox News from 5 p.m. all the way to The O'Reilly Show, which is prime time.
Oh.
So he's on prime time. He's got prime time commercial space.
Wow.
So he's raising money for the Jews who went through the Holocaust, who are starving and can't get their medication. And I'm saying, who are these people? Perhaps many of them still live in Israel. Perhaps those people have family members that are taking care of them.
Yes.
Who says that they need your money, my money? Listen, it's not about not helping people. It's about the scams. That's
yeah,
what
it's
about.
Scams. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about scams.
Yeah.
And it's a costly way to do fundraising, really, if you're going to be on television, because it's unless they were donating the airtime, you're raising funds, you're not keeping any of the money for yourself. If I ever had a Christian television network, I would not allow fundraising in any way.
Mm-hmm.
There would be absolutely no fundraising. If people want to send a donation, that's fine. They can hear from God for themselves. I don't have to tell them.
Correct.
So I'm not opposed to people receiving offerings or any of that. I am opposed to people manipulating people to get offerings. But it's enough that to preach the gospel, yes, seek first the kingdom, and then all the other things are added. So, but what about now God's calendar? Does God have a calendar?
Well, God has a prophetic calendar, but not the calendar that the hoodwinkers, the Word of Faith and the Prosperity Gospel hoodwinkers are talking about. And the one that they've, conjured up, we know that Rod Parsley, as of late, and since 2006, Paula White has been talking about God's calendar starting in January. And that's because it's the first month of the year, and that's when the first month of the year means that you give the first fruits. And then Paula ran that for many years. And then recently, and when I mean recently, for 3 to 4 years now, she's been pushing the Passover and then the Pentecost and then the Day of Atonement. So they have these four seasons or feast or what they call appointments that they've made up. In order to get you to keep their ministries afloat, and we have to look at these offerings as quarterly fundraisers. It's basically because the first one's in January, then the second one's in March, April, depending on what day Passover comes on the calendar that year, and then Pentecost is in June. May, June, and then Day of Atonement is in September. So they've taken the Jewish calendar and they've made it the Christian calendar. And the only reason for that is to raise money. That's the only reason. But as we read in Galatians 4, verse 10, Paul says, "You as a believer are wasting your time if you are observing special days, special feasts, special holidays. He says, if you're caught up in all of that, then you have another gospel. And so, so for us, no, there isn't any special calendar. Now, the devil has a special calendar, and that's the one that Paula White and Rob Parsley and the others are pushing. That's the devil's calendar.
Yeah,
but it's not our calendar. And you know, this is why these people, they won't debate anybody. They've been called out so many times. I don't know how many times these people have been called out, and they've been challenged to debates, but they won't come on. And if they would only debate, then they would be exposed, and then everybody would see how they're just complete liars.
Oh yeah, well we're issuing the challenge again. We're issuing the challenge for Paula White to debate Dr. Elisha Coles.
Yeah, look at Paula White. Let's take Paula White as an example. Okay, she claims that in her book she talks about patterns. Just going off the top of my head, she says patterns are permanent. That's what she says. So God has laid out the pattern. She says patterns are permanent. Nobody can change these patterns. They are permanent. The principles are binding. Cannot, under any circumstance, violate the principle or the pattern, or you're in trouble with God. Okay, mm-hmm. So listen. Any Bible student knows that you cannot celebrate first fruits before you celebrate Passover. You just can't. If we're looking at it from a biblical standpoint, we know that the first month of the year for the Jewish people, for the Hebrew, and then later on the Jewish people, was the month of April. That's their first month of the year, right? That's not our first month, but that's their first month. And in their first month, on the 14th day, they celebrated Passover, okay? So now, Paula White says in her book, you can't violate the pattern and you can't violate the principle. And so right there, she violated two principles. First of all, she arbitrarily on her own changed the month from April to January.
Yeah.
That's the first change she made. She changed it from April to, and in her book she says patterns are permanent. So either they're permanent or they're not permanent. So the Jews celebrated Passover in April or March, depending on, because the Jews went by a lunar calendar. So from year to year it varies.
Yes.
Because their months have 29 days rather than ours, who have 30 and 31. So that gets a little complicated or technical. But that's why you'll see that Easter is not always, it can either be in March or April, depending on the moon, how they calculate the moon. All right, so now, she switches from March, April, and she puts it in January. Now, who told her to do that? She did it on her own. So she violated the pattern right there. So right there, when she tells us you can't violate the pattern, or you get in trouble with God, well, she just violated it. Now, here's another thing. The first feast that the Jews ever celebrate is Passover. That's the first feast every year that they celebrate is Passover. Then come June or May, depending again on the lunar calendar, June or May is Pentecost, right? Pentecost is when the Jews used to give their first fruits offering. So notice what Paula did. She changed the months, right, from April to January.
Yeah.
And then she flipped the feast because Passover's first, then Pentecost. Well, now she made Pentecost first and Passover second.
Yeah.
You see what Paula did? So
yeah.
She flipped it. And and so, as you can see, patterns are not permanent in Paula's world. patterns are not permanent.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? She's lying. She's a liar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a liar. Yeah.
So no. And here's the other thing. Notice how clever and how cunning she is that she takes, she collects two offerings for the same feast. She doesn't tell you that Pentecost is first fruits. She doesn't tell you that in the Bible. Pentecost is first fruits. So what she does is she claims Pentecost first in January. Then she gets you for first fruits, or she gets you for a second offering or third offering when it comes to Pentecost.
Yeah.
So she's getting, she's double dipping for the same feast.
Yeah.
And that's how slick she is.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Bible says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" So she's very good at the bewitching.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she's managed to build a career. But, of course, we know that she bankrupted two churches, the one in Tampa filed for bankruptcy, and the one in Lakeland was sold at a bankruptcy auction. So the two churches that she founded, she bankrupted. So these scams didn't work for her. And now she's over at the New Destiny Church in Apopka, Florida, taking over for the deceased pastor there. Zachary Timms. Yeah. And now she stands in front of the audience on Sunday morning, and bodyguards are facing. Now, imagine going to church. Can anyone please imagine this? You're going to church on Sunday. You bring your little kitties with you, and you go into the church building, and the pastor is standing on the platform, and then there's two or three bodyguards facing you, standing in front of the platform facing you as the pastor preaches. Now, who does that remind you of?
Well, that reminds me of Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who does that? Like, why does Paula White need bodyguards? She's not that important. So.
Well, perhaps all the people that she swindled have it out for her, you know. Maybe she realizes that all the people she's taking their money, you know, have it out for her.
Yeah, well, who wants to go to church? Yeah, and it resembles a Louis Farrakhan service. So, and then she demands that the people over there call her apostle. Apostle of what? I mean, what church did you found that was successful?
Well, again, you know, she's right in that she's an apostle, but as Paul said, you know, even Satan has apostles.
Yeah.
So she's a satanic apostle.
Yeah.
She has a false gospel.
Yeah, she has a false gospel.
She has a false gospel, so she just can't help herself. And she wants her people to call her apostle, but it's cloaked. She doesn't tell them an apostle of what? Apostle of error, an apostle of scripture twisting, an apostle of deception, an apostle of misleading souls to hell, an apostle of no holiness. You know, you can live any way you want to. And as long as you give God money, you'll be okay. Because holiness doesn't matter to God. Well, the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. So that's still in the New Testament. And God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And come out from among them, and be ye separate,
I
will be unto you a father, and you shall be unto me my children." So God demands holiness. But that's, you see, Paula doesn't preach that. Rod Parsley, they don't preach or teach that.
No.
They just want the money. Send God the money and everything will be fine. They can care less about the way you're living. They can care less.
No, if you had any real love for people, real love doesn't make any demands on people as far as a parent doesn't make financial demands on their children to show them love. Parents love unconditionally for the most part. So, of course, they want their children to succeed in life and be able to earn a living, but a usual parent doesn't say to their child, well, if you want something from me, first you have to give me something. So then when you give me something, then I'll give you something. So how do people get the idea about God? This is how far they have fallen, is that they present God and Jesus Christ to the world as people that demand bribes.
Well, again, you know, how many parents, as Jesus said, he said, if your children was to ask you for bread, which parent would give them a stone? And it all goes back to, if we being evil, if we have a sinful nature, and we know how to dote on our children, and we're always doting on our children, we're always coming to our children's rescue. It's only natural, right?
Yeah.
It's only natural to come to your child's rescue, to your children's rescue. He says, if you, having a sinful nature, can dote on your children and come to their rescue, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is holy and sinless? So the heavenly Father that these people talk about, who gets angry if you, oh, don't miss this appointment with God, and don't... Listen. God is not a man that he should lie, or he's not a man to get upset, and he's not a man to hold grudges. God is not a man to have a temper tantrum. You know,
yeah.
We can go down the line. We can go down the line. So this God that they preach about, I don't know. And you know, here's the other thing. Rob Parsley wants you to send him your prayer request. He wants you to send him your prayer request. Well, by the time he gets your prayer request, you could have had them answered 7 days before.
Yeah.
Because all you had to do is talk to your father.
Yeah.
Why would you have to write a letter to Rob Parsley, tell him what your problems are, put a stamp on the letter, go to the post office, wait for the U.S. Postal Service to deliver the letter, when you can just go into your closet and
yeah.
talk to your heavenly Father?
Yeah, so what's that all about? Yeah, they've got, now, did you ever hear of anybody laying prayers on an altar? They will take your prayer request, because here, this is a scam, because it gets you to send in something so they get your address, so then they can bombard you. They don't do anything because they love you.
No. It's their way.
So what is this prayer request on an altar?
I don't have an issue with people. I've been to many prayer services, many prayer meetings, where they would ask you to fill out your prayer request, and there's a box that they have where you can deposit your prayer request, and people go and they pray for the prayer request in the box. I get that. I believe in intercessory prayer. I believe in praying for others. I believe in standing in the gap for others. But the way these guys have set it up is that, yes, they get your mailing address, and then once they get your mailing address, they just bombard you with requests, and they bombard you with product sales.
Yeah.
And Parsley, you know, I have this 7 ways to defeat the devil. And, you know, and so they're constantly selling products. They're constantly asking for offerings. And once you get on their mailing list, you're doomed.
Yeah.
You're finished. Because they're relentless. And they won't let you be. They won't. You won't have peace of mind.
Yeah,
because with them, it's always about the money.
It's always about the money. But I know a friend of mine, she said that she gets phone calls from Manasseh, Jordan. And he keeps calling her.
With new technology now, you know, with new technology, you know, there's going to come a time if ever you can project images of people in your living room, then before you know, when that happens, you'll see Rob Parsley, you know, zooming into your living room whenever he wants to and making a sales pitch.
Yeah.
It just has to do with technology, you know. The better technology gets, these people are on the cutting edge, these false teachers are on the cutting edge on how to use technology to fleece the saints.
Oh, yeah.
They're just on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
They're on Twitter. They use every tool imaginable. And they're always up to date on the latest. And this is why, you know, who has time to listen to Paula's tweets? You know, who has time to listen to the nonsense that, first of all, when she's preaching for an hour, what she calls preaching is complete nonsense. So why would you be sitting at the edge of your seat waiting for Paula to tweet you? Don't you think 1 hour of nonsense is enough?
Oh, please. Whoever, if you listen to most of these people when they're supposedly preaching a sermon, they just go around in circles. Nothing they say makes any sense. I don't know
Absolutely.
How people sit there. They have to be hypnotized to even sit through. I never know what she's talking about.
Ever.
She just goes around in a circle.
Ever.
And none of it makes any sense.
Listen,
so,
I've been listening to Paula talk about first fruits since 2006. So that's 2006, 2007, 2008, 2000. You're talking about 8 years that I've been listening to her, and I still don't get what she's saying. I've read her book numerous times, the two versions that she has on first fruits. I've read the two books numerous times. At the end of each reading, I don't know what she's saying.
No.
And I have excellent reading comprehension. It's not like I'm a dunce. I have excellent reading comprehension. But I cannot figure out this. She talks in circles.
Yeah, so what
and
do
when
you
she
think
talks about,
goes behind that? Why do they do that?
Well, it's a form of hypnotism, one. You know, and she's always talking. When you read her book, First Things First, I mean, she just has, it's like a mantra, you know. It's things that they repeat in order to hypnotize you. And she talks about the sacred secrets of God, and she talks about principles and patterns are permanent. And when you do first things first, you know, God will take care of the rest and blah. And these are all, you know, cliches and little sayings, but they never amount to anything because at the end of her book and at the end of every 30-minute television program, the only way you can please God, the only way that you can please God and rearrange your life, because that's the secondary title of her book, the effective way for you to rearrange your life is by giving the first fruits offering.
Yeah.
So the problem is that Paula has given it, but her life hasn't been rearranged. It's a complete mess.
Oh, yeah. Let's
so,
take, for instance,
it does,
yeah, while you're
yeah.
saying that, is that
yeah.
Here's a woman that preaches this, give these offerings and honor these feast days and honor God's calendar, and you'll be blessed. But then again, yeah, here's a woman that got a divorce in 2007 from her husband, bankrupted two churches.
Was caught with Benny Hinn in Italy.
Was caught with Benny Hinn while he was still married. Of course, his divorce was pending, but he wasn't yet divorced.
Right.
And then has been sued multiple times.
Right. Flies in like a vulture when Zachary Tim dies. I mean, the body's not even cold yet, and she's already planning her coup d'etat.
Yeah.
You know, how is she going to take over? And then she fought, you know, several other vultures to the death. Bishop Ivy Hilliard, I don't know what he's a bishop of, but Bishop Ivy Hilliard, you know, was crying like
a
baby.
Yeah, another scammer.
Yeah, crying like a baby because Paula didn't play by the rules. Well, wolves don't play by the rules.
No,
he knows
they don't
that.
Play
he's
by the rules.
He's a wolf himself. We ain't gonna play by the rule. It's the it's the fittest who wins. You know, it's the survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And Paula White took him on. She took on Shane Perry and all the other vultures. I mean, boy, Zachary, the guy dies, and they're coming in there. And the person who had the inside track, which was Tim's wife, she even got blown away.
Oh, yeah. They...
And Paul, and then all the people, all the members of the church who protested, they got blown away. Because what is Paula White after? She's after real estate. She's after money. She knew that the ship was sinking over there in Tampa. So like any rat, when the ship is sinking, the rats look for any piece of lumber they can float on. And it is what it is. Paula is what Paul calls in Galatians chapter, Philippians chapter 3. She's an enemy of the cross. She's not my enemy. She's not your enemy. We don't take it personal. She's an enemy of the cross. She's against our King. Our King is Jesus.
Yeah.
He's our King of kings and Lord of lords. And so she's declared war on the Savior and on his gospel. And of course, we pray for her conversion. I pray for her conversion every day.
Yeah.
But is it likely? No, it's unlikely. Because her conscience is seared.
Conscience is seared.
Yeah. It would take a miracle of miracles for her, and even Parsley. Look how far gone Parsley is.
Yeah, Parsley's really far gone. He's really lost his mind totally.
And his credibility.
His credibility. Yeah. Terrible. Now, I met Rod Parsley in the early 1980s when he was just really starting out, I guess, as a Pentecostal preacher, because he was a Baptist preacher before then. But he seemed like a real sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good word. And then he got involved in Fame and Fortune and had to keep the monster going, because that's what happens when your ministry gets too big and you can't pay the bills. You start... you have to keep the monster going. You have to keep your image going. So that's why we see so much scamming and fleecing with these people, because anybody that's been in ministry knows. I mean, usually the donations don't come rolling in.
Right.
You know, so they...
Well, they must be desperate now, because the holidays are coming in. And we have a bad national economy.
Yeah, they're desperate right now.
Yeah, gas prices are going down, but you know, people are saying, "Boy, you know, that's just some extra money, so I can get an extra gallon of milk or a loaf of bread." And but I'm pretty sure that now, come November, December, they're going to be in a bind, because money's not going to be coming in.
Oh yeah,
money's
and,
not gonna,
You want to be able to teach people to hear from God for themselves. Nobody has to tell anybody to give something. We should be able to see a need as Christians. We should be able to see that need and to meet that need. And if you wanted to give someone a gift, you should be able to feel that in your own heart that, yes, I would like to bless somebody. I would like to do as the Apostle Paul said, and it is more blessed to give than to receive, and to love my neighbor as myself, and to be a lover. So that's what I want to see. But meanwhile, these people are teaching you only to do something out of selfishness so that you could get something back. Well, that takes away the joy of giving. That takes away from you hearing from God for yourself about what you want to do with your money. Freedom a lot better.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we go back to Paul's. Paul has a key word in the book of Galatians. He says, "Why are you letting these people to bring you back into bondage?"
Yes.
And that's what you see. That's the problem. When you know that if you're in Paula White's church, it is bondage.
Bondage.
Not only is she going to get you for all of these special offerings, but then when you go to her church, how many offerings? I mean, not only does she want your tithes and offerings, and all that's debatable right there, but then after that, then she has for you to give another, every service. There's a second or third offering.
Oh, yeah.
And who can go to a church like that and stay above float financially?
Terrible. I heard her say, I think it was on a Sunday, I heard her say to her people there, I'm here, and I'm your apostle, and I'm teaching you what to do, so you have to listen to what I'm saying, because if you don't listen to what I'm saying, especially about tithing, you know, God's not going to bless you. I'm like, oh,
well,
really? Wow.
Well, we can ask the 20,000 people. We can ask the 20,000 people who used to go to Without Walls Church in Tampa. We can ask them how did giving the first fruits offering every year work out for them?
Yeah.
How did that work? How did giving all those tithes and offerings? We can ask Daryl Strawberry how it worked out for him when he put his World Series ring into the bucket. How did that work out for him?
He lost everything. He lost everything. Daryl Strawberry, the famous baseball player, he wound up with nothing.
Exactly. Well, and wound up being with the whites for a little while, and then they called the authorities on him and had him forcefully taken out. So it didn't work out pretty good for them. And they listened to their apostle. Randy White is a bishop. They listened to the bishop. But how did that work out for them? Not too good. Not too good. So that's why, you know, we should listen to the one voice, the voice of Scripture, the voice of God, and just check these people out and just say, see you later, sayonara, goodbye. And good riddance, and not even bother with these people. But going back to the Jewish feast, we need to emphasize that these feasts, the feast of Passover, is strictly a Jewish feast. It's not a Christian feast. It is strictly for Jewish people. It celebrates their national liberation from Egypt.
Yeah.
Now, whatever your ethnicity is, my ethnicity, my people, I'm Hispanic, my people were not liberated from Egypt. Whatever your background is, it's not Jewish, of course, your people were not liberated from Egypt. So the Feast of Passover is strictly a Hebrew/Jewish feast.
Yeah.
It documents a historical event that took place in the nation's history. So that's why Christians don't celebrate Passover. Secondly, we don't celebrate Pentecost. We don't, because Pentecost has to do with the land. God gave the children of Israel the land, and when you read about first fruits, and Pentecost is about first fruits, God said to them, now you're going to count 50 days from the Passover feast, 50 days from the Passover feast, 50 days after that is your first fruits holiday. And that holiday was tied into the fact that God gave the Hebrew people the land of Canaan. So he didn't give my people the land of Canaan. He didn't give your people the land of Canaan. Thus, we don't need to give God the first fruits because he didn't give us land.
Yeah.
So, again, that is strictly a Hebrew-Jewish holiday because it's tied into the historical fact that he gave them the land under Joshua. So my ancestors weren't there. They did not participate in that. We have no title deed to any land in Israel. Thus, we're not tied to giving the first fruits offering. And then the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is the national day in which the nation confessed their sins to God, and for 1 year, their sins were dealt with until the following year. So, again, Jesus Christ dealt with all of my sins, past, present, and future, at the cross.
Yes.
Thus, I don't need to celebrate the Day of Atonement. It's called the Day of Atonement, which means they have to do it once a year on a certain day. And this is a Jewish feast. It's not for Christians. So all this ties nationally to a people, and it doesn't apply to us believers. That's just like baptism took the place of circumcision, and communion took the place of Passover. So
yeah.
We have two ordinances, baptism and communion. And those two things supersede circumcision and Passover. So
yeah.
The Jews practice that.
Well, it says
that
in the New Testament that Christ is our Passover.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So any Christian who's observing those feasts has been hoodwinked.
Yeah.
And doesn't realize that those belong to national Israel. National Israel. And doesn't belong. And, you know, it's interesting because there are people in Israel, there are people who actually live in Israel who work in the tech sector. They work, you know, with computers and everything involved with, you know, technology, right?
Yeah.
And when you ask those people, do you give a Passover, do you give a first fruits offering? They say no, because only farmers give a first fruits offering.
Yeah.
You see, so even people in Israel, policemen don't give first fruits offerings.
Yeah.
Because they're policemen.
Yeah, I remember one time I called a Jewish synagogue because I said, I'm going to call and talk to the rabbi over there and ask him about tithing. So I called up. I said, well, do you tithe? He said, oh, no, we don't teach that.
No, they don't. They don't. And
it
many
came
Christians
right from a Jewish rabbi.
Yeah, and many Christians would be amazed to find out that the things that Rob Parsley and Paula are demanding from them, the Jewish rabbis don't even demand from the Jewish people.
Yes.
And it was, and this stuff was, and you know, one of the arguments that Paula makes is that you shall observe this forever. And she goes, and forever means forever.
Yeah.
Well, if forever means forever, why is it that the Jewish people aren't doing it?
Yeah.
And they read Hebrew. They're reading the original Hebrew. Paula can barely read English.
Yeah.
So she's clueless. It's all a scam.
Yeah.
It's all a scam.
That's the thing is we go back to what we said about people reading their Bibles, because if you will take the time to read and to study to show yourself approved and be a good Berean, then you won't be hoodwinked by these people. That's the only way I got out of the Word of Faith movement and away from people like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and these kind of people, was when I said, I am going to read for myself and find out what the truth is, because I just don't feel right about all this stuff. Something is bothering me about seed faith and tithing, and I need to find out for myself. And when I found out for myself, then I found out what the truth was, and so there was no way I was ever going back to that Babylonian system of slavery that they were trying to put me in. So we want people to check out what I say, what anybody says on this program. Check it out with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up, then it's wrong. So
absolutely.
I can be corrected. If I'm saying something that isn't biblically correct, I can be corrected. I don't get angry.
We can all be corrected, and we have been. We've even corrected ourselves. There were things that I taught years ago that when I came upon another scripture, I said, wow, I never knew about this scripture. And now I need to rethink what I was once teaching.
Yeah.
Right? Or something that I held to be true.
Right.
And when you put all the scriptures together, that's like, look, if you follow just the Old Testament, of course you're going to believe in tithing and you're going to believe in giving first fruits because you only have half the story.
Right.
You have to read the whole book to get the whole story.
Yes.
And
not what just someone else is saying, because that's basically what, I've been a Christian since 1981. So for the first 15 years of my Christianity, I basically listened to what the pastor was telling me about tithing and giving and the teachers I listened to and followed. And I never did an exhaustive study. So then when I finally did, that was the end of it. It was over. I haven't tithed since 1997. And, you know, if people want to tithe, that's fine. You know, if you want to do it, that's fine. But you're not under any obligation to do it. And I found I was more blessed in my life by not being forced to give these offerings. And I wasn't doing it out of a cheerful heart. I was doing it because I had to do it. And so I can say honestly that I've been more blessed since I stopped trying to bribe God to get him to do things for me, that I just go on my merry way and seek first the kingdom and trust God to meet my needs daily. And that works out a lot better than trying to bribe him and then expecting something in return because we lay a few dollar bills on the altar. My thing about them putting their prayer requests on an altar is that they're making you think that there's something so special about you sending in your prayer request to them so that they could lay hands on it and put it on an altar. And
well,
it's nothing but
yeah.
a scam.
Well, it all goes back to this. It all goes back to think about Paula, right, or Rod Parsley or the others who teach on first fruits. Okay, now, why won't they tell you, why won't they teach, listen, giving the first fruits to your local church would be just as good as sending it to me. Why won't they? No, because,
exactly.
Because it's a scam, right?
Right.
They could tell you. They could tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, give it to
send
anybody.
Send it to your local church, right?
Yeah.
No, but they won't do that.
No.
Now, here's the thing. Rod Parsley and Paula White, when they do the first fruits, they promise that they're going to take your prayer request before God. But why would I need them to be my high priest? They're acting
yeah.
as high priest
yeah.
when I already have a high priest.
Right.
His name is Jesus. You have
yes.
a high priest.
Yes.
Whoever liveth to make intercession for us. That's what Hebrews 7:25 says. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So why would I send Rod Parsley my prayer request when, first of all, I can take them to God myself, and then I have a high priest whose name is Jesus, and he's presenting my prayer request and my needs before the Father.
Yeah.
So it all goes back to themselves setting themselves up in the place of God, setting themselves
yes.
up in the place of Jesus.
Yeah.
You see, and they're really taking the place. This is why I don't like when you have these so-called preachers who claim to have an anointing.
Yes.
Well, okay, so you have, let's say Benny Hinn claims to have the anointing for healing. All right, so now, instead of me going to Benny Hinn, instead of me getting in a car and going to, let's say, the Los Angeles arena to go meet Benny Hinn if he's having a crusade there, why don't I go to the one person who is the anointed one, not
yes.
as an anointing, but
yeah.
why can't I go to the Messiah? Why can't I go to Jesus, the great physician, and
yeah.
have him heal me?
That's right.
You see, so all of this, these people are just trying to take the place of the Lord.
Yeah.
When we should, John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he might increase. The role
That's
of the
right.
preacher is to remind the people that we look to the Lamb of God who take, there, behold, John said, in Greek it's the word idon. Idon means to fix your eyes, take a good look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He wasn't pointing to himself. He was pointing to Jesus. And so that's what we have to do. We have to point people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And as long as we keep pointing people to Jesus, then we're his servants. The moment
yes.
we point people to ourselves, then we have really messed up. And
yeah,
I don't understand. Rod Parsley supposedly is the president of a Bible college. What are they teaching over there? What
Terrible.
Could they be teaching if this guy's teaching atonement offerings, Passover offerings? What are they teaching at that Bible college?
It's terrible. It's I don't know how many people actually attend his Bible college, but even his daughter, I had mentioned it a few weeks ago, but I even saw her again yesterday with her father, and they're raising money for to send to Ebola people there in Africa. And Rod says something, and then his daughter, you know, chimes in, and she, and after Rod finishes his sentence, you know, she says, "Yes, thank you, Pastor." She calls her father Pastor. I'm like, you know, that is so phony. Like, this
phony,
girl is
phony,
only in her
phony.
20s. Phony. And they're raising her up to be a robot.
My children call me Daddy all the time.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
don't call me anything but Dad. Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Daddy. Hey, Papa. That's what
yeah.
my kids call me. Some
Pastor.
Of them call me Papa. Some call me Daddy. Some call me Dad.
I'm like, give me a break, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. Who is he sending? I mean, he's raising money for Ebola, or for food for Ebola victims. Okay, first of all, those people are in quarantine. Those people are on stretchers. They don't even acknowledge. They can't even. What food is he sending them? They can't eat food. Their organs are becoming liquefied. What? I mean, does he think we're that stupid? These people can't eat. They can't retain anything in their stomach. Who is he sending food to? What? And not only that, the World Health Organization, the United Nations, are there in full force.
Yeah.
With governments from all over the world sending these people the stuff they need. Rob Parsi's not needed there. He's just looking for a crisis.
Yeah, yeah, he's looking
to make
for a
money.
Crisis.
That's
yeah.
all. He's just using this crisis to make money.
Yeah, because it's like I said, if they could take that money, whatever he raises, and they could send it over there to Africa and let the people buy whatever they want, because it's expensive to ship things. Why do we have to buy things in this country and then ship it over to Africa when you can help the local economy by purchasing the things there? Africa has goods. You know, the whole of Africa has goods.
Of course they do. Listen, we need to stop buying into Rob Parsi's lie, Bridge of Hope. It's really Bridge of Dopes. That's all it is. He's looking for dimwits to send him money so
That's
he
it.
Can live large. That's all
That's
it, it is. It's Bridge of Dopes.
Yeah, Bridge of Dopes. So we just have about 2 minutes left,
yep.
Brother Moses. So is there anything else you wanted to tell the people before we go?
Listen, we just want to tell the saints, stop sending these people money, read your Bibles, open up the Bibles for yourself. Instead of sending these people money, buy yourself good books, good commentaries, good Bible dictionaries. Do the research on the Passover offering yourself, the first fruits, all of that, Day of Atonement, and you'll see that there's no need to send these people any kind of money because it's all been taken care of in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 So I want to thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
For being a part of this program. And I always appreciate your insight.
Wonderful, wonderful. Can't wait to do it again.
Yes.
God bless.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for tuning in today and for being in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, for being there and for listening. I appreciate the listeners, and I hope and pray that this program has blessed you today and that we will continue to be a blessing to you. Don't forget, the most important thing is to be born again. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins today. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. God loves you. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. No matter what, if you feel suicidal or you're addicted to drugs or you're an alcoholic or whatever it is, Jesus Christ can rescue you just like he rescued me. Give your life to Jesus. He's the only one that really loves you today. Don't forget to tune in next week, another episode of Prophetic News. God bless you. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.